Okay, good evening. Good evening to all those that are out, for those that are in America. Hi, Ashish. And Rebecca, you want to say hi to your husband? He'll listen to it.
Hi. Okay.
And to Stevens and Lynn, greetings. And to whoever else is listening to this study in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, we're on chapter 11, and we are looking at verse 6 and 7 tonight. So let's read the text. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Tonight we are continuing in chapter 11 of Hebrews, a chapter that was originally written to encourage Christians in churches who are being persecuted, who are suffering for following the teachings and the commandments of Jesus Christ. This chapter was given to encourage them to endure faithfully, to persevere, and to not give up. So when you read this chapter, think of that. Think of the original readers of this chapter. They were being encouraged to flex their spiritual muscles, to stay focused, to not turn back to a former way of life, a former lifestyle that was without Christ, in order to avoid suffering for Christ. It was written to encourage them not to cast away their confidence, as we saw in the previous chapter, in chapter 10, which sets the context for chapter 11. In Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36, the writer says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." This is the context of chapter 11. The writer here is encouraging his readers to consider, to reflect upon the great recompense of reward that's out ahead of them, that was promised to them. What is this great recompense of reward? What is it that was promised to them? As we're going to see in chapter 11, it has to do with an inheritance. It has to do with the land of promise, promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It has to do with a city whose builder and maker is God. It has to do with a better resurrection. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, in verse 3, the writer called it so great salvation, so great salvation. That is what the reward is. That is what was promised. So great salvation is the great recompense of reward in Hebrews 10, verse 35. This is what these readers were promised that they would be able to experience in the world to come in Hebrews 2, verse 5, which sets the context of future. Everything in the book of Hebrews is motivating people to do what they do because of the future. What lies ahead of these readers and of Christians today that live by faith. The salvation that has been promised to those that do not throw away their confidence is a salvation that comes to this earth when Jesus comes a second time. In Hebrews 9:28, He brings salvation to those that are waiting for Him, those that are enduring, those that are enduring faithfully. In order to endure faithfully in a biblical fashion, we must keep our focus on the great recompense of reward. Everyone in Hebrews chapter 11 understood this. This gives us power, gives us incredible power to endure anything in this life. It will give you power to endure a bad marriage. It will give you power to endure a loss of health. It will give you power to endure the death of a loved one. It will give you power to overcome all the evils that are found in this world and receive and obtain approval from God. But if you take your eyes off of the reward, you will lose your endurance because you have lost faith. Faith looks to the reward. And that is why faith is a key to our endurance. Faith looks to the reward. What is faith? Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So if you want to obtain a good report, you need to have faith. Faith looks to spiritual things. Faith looks to obtaining a good report from God. Spiritual things are not invisible. Spiritual things are real. They are tangible, but they remain future. That's what it means when I say spiritual things. Things that are hoped for and things that are not seen are spiritual things, but they are real. They are tangible, but they remain to be given in the future. These are the things that God has promised us in the Bible. It's the things hoped for, the things not seen. It has to do with reward. Reward. Reward at the coming of Jesus Christ. That is when the Bible says in Matthew 16, 27, Revelation 22, 12, that God is going to reward every man according to his works of faith. We have to wait for it. That is another key to understanding faith. Faith waits. Faith is patient. It waits. It endures. It waits for our approval before God. It is not concerned about our approval before man in this evil day. It is concerned about approval from God in that day when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. So faith looks past persecution. He is encouraging these readers to look past their persecution, to look beyond their present sufferings. That is not easy to do. Easy said, but not easily done. To look past our present sufferings. It endures looking to things hoped for and things not seen. The whole of chapter 11 describes what faith does. What faith does in the lives of those who have it. If you want to know what faith does in the lives of people like you and me, we can look in Hebrews chapter 11 and understand what faith, the life of faith, is all about. And how they obtained a good report, approval from God. And how they endured to the end. Without faith, we cannot endure. We cannot overcome the world. And that is why John told us in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. That's how important our faith is. So important. Not many people consider it. But our faith is so important. That's why we need to be in a place where we're hearing the word of faith. So we can be encouraged and strengthened in the faith. Our faith needs to be strengthened by the teaching of God's word. And the preaching of God's word in a church. And people that don't have this will not be able to endure in a biblical fashion. And they will not be pleasing to God. And they will face what the Bible calls destruction. Because if you're not pleasing to God, the Bible says you're destroyed. And that's what we're going to see here in a minute. So far we've looked at two men. We've learned about Abel and Enoch. Both of them carried out their lives by faith. Abel, you think about his life, he was willing to die for his faith. And he did. Willing to sacrifice his life for his faith. He was killed because of his righteous deeds, his righteous works. In 1 John 3:12, the Apostle John tells us that Abel suffered and was murdered by his brother because of his righteous works. The righteousness which is of faith always has the works of obedience like Abel had. Last week we saw where it is written that Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God by faith in a world that was totally hostile toward God. And he walked with God. And people were hostile toward the people of God, I believe, at that time. The pre-flood world in the days of Enoch, in the days of Noah, was a day of violence. It was a violent world. Oh, it had technology and advancement of its time, but they had turned away from God. They were in rebellion. And they did not approve of those who walked by faith. But Enoch walked with God, which means he walked by faith. When we walk with God, that means we walk by faith. And Enoch was pleasing to God. That's the testimony. That is the testimony that we want to bear. And that's the testimony that Enoch had in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And then tonight, in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is the only thing about our life that will please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That word impossible is a strong word. A very strong word. It means no one can do it. It means that it cannot happen. It means that it is inconceivable. By this word, we can see just how important our faith is. It is impossible to please Him unless we have faith operating in our lives. And that's why Paul, three different times in three different epistles that he wrote, he encouraged the churches to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Faith is not just something that is nice. Something that we can leave, take it or leave it attitude. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Remember that. Remember this verse tonight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We better make sure we have it. We got to make sure we have it. And maybe that's why Paul said, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. Whether you be in the faith, examine yourselves. Our life will have no approval before God unless we receive God's word and apply it to our lives. That means we obey it. And that's what it means to live by faith. God will have no pleasure in those who at one time walk with Him and live by faith, and due to situations, due to certain environments, they draw back. God will have no pleasure in a man, a Christian man or woman, that draws back from faith. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Now the just, that is the obedient, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed. Do you see that? And this is telling us that you have to be in the faith in order to draw back from it. It's not that you were never in the faith to begin with. This is someone that was in the faith and they drew back from it. Just like the Christians he's addressing here. To draw back means that you start living by faith, but then something comes along. Someone comes along and turns you back. In the context here, we know that this was persecution. Persecution in the context of the book of Hebrews. Persecution for the cause of Christ. For living the life of faith. For obeying God and living righteously in this world. These Christians were tempted to stop enduring. The conflict had become too intense. And they were tempted to stop fighting the good fight of faith. Maybe you, at some point in time, will be tempted to stop fighting the good fight of faith. Your life in this world will become more important to your life in the world to come. That's what was taking place to these Christians. Their life, they're preserving their life and what they had in this world and what people thought of them was more important than having approval for God from God in the next life. 2 Timothy 4:10 talks about Demas, who had that kind of an attitude. He forsook Paul. He forsook all the teachings that Paul had presented to him and discipled him under. And he forsook that for the love of this present world. Your decisions will reveal your faith and whether you are no longer trusting God. Jesus said that this would happen to many disciples. He said in Matthew 13:21 about those who received the word of God on stony ground. Yet he has no root in himself, Jesus says, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word of the kingdom, immediately he falls away. Those who draw back are destroyed, plain, simple, and clear. They are destroyed. The Exodus generation is our example as Christians. We are warned by the Exodus generation, not to draw back. In the book of Hebrews, we're warned about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are warned about it. The Exodus generation stopped pleasing God because they stopped trusting God. 1 Corinthians 10:5, for many of them, many of God's people, God's own children, many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Jude 1:5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of God, out of the land of Egypt. The people of the covenant afterward destroyed them. Why? That believed not. That believed not. So when we live by faith, we are telling God that what He said in His Word is true. That He is not a liar. Do you like people to accept you at your word or call you a liar? When people then take your word, what are they calling you, right? When people don't accept your word, they're calling you a liar. That doesn't feel good, does it? Imagine how God feels. When we do not accept His word and live by faith, we are calling God a liar. We want to be people like Sarah, who judged God to be faithful. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, she judged Him to be faithful, that He will keep His promise. That He will keep His promise. That He will be faithful to bring what He says to pass. Hebrews 10, 23 says, "For He is faithful who promised. His word will not fail." That's a characteristic in the life of someone who lives by faith. That is what the writer of Hebrews says and means when he says in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, that if we're going to approach God, if we're going to come to the God of the Bible, the God who manifested Himself in the person of Jesus Christ and preached the gospel of the kingdom, we must believe that He is. We must believe that He is. Hebrews 11, 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." To believe that He is means that we must believe that God is exactly who He is in His Word. Who He reveals Himself to be in His Word. It also means that we have a present, abiding awareness that God is. Not that God was. Not the God of yesterday. He is the God of today. He is the God right now in my present situation. He is the God in my persecution. He is the God in my suffering. He is the God in all the difficulties of my life. Remember what Moses said. Where were you when your people were suffering in the land of Egypt? And he says, I was with them. I suffered with them. There is nowhere we can go where He is not. God sees everything. God knows everything. And that's faith. Faith believes that. Faith looks to that. Faith that pleases God is always a constant awareness that He is. He is right now. We see this in Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. Actually, this is 7 to 10. "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me." That is believing that God is. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." If we believe that He is, then it will show. It will be revealed in the choices that we make. We want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. As David did in 1 Kings 15:5, David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he believed that He is. He believed that God is. And he wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God and turn not aside from anything that He commanded him in all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's not bad. That's not bad. One blemish on his record. Right? And we don't even have a mention of that in the New Testament writings. But that's not bad. I think of many things that David, we could write about David that probably were not so good. But the only thing recorded here in the Scriptures is the matter of Uriah the Hittite. The writer of Hebrews not only says that he that comes to God must believe that he is, but also he must believe that God rewards faithfulness. That God is a rewarder. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." This is important. So important. In times of severe testings, in trials, in the valleys, in the darkness, when we think God is no longer there and we have been forsaken. We need power to endure. We need power to hang in there. More than any other time, we need to know that God is a rewarder. That God is a rewarder. We need to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith understands that God is going to recompense faithful living. Faithful living. And you say, well, we always know that. Yeah, many people don't. Many people don't understand that God is going to reward faithful living. But let me just say this. God will more than adequately compensate. He will compensate us for the wrongs. For the wrongs we suffered. For the pain that we endured. For the shame that we faced in this life. He will adequately, more than adequately, compensate. He is a rewarder. That's what it means. That you really do believe that God will more than adequately compensate you for the things that you lose in this life. He rewards faith. Paul knew this. This is how Paul lived. And I wrote this down in the New Living Translation in 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul was in prison and he was suffering in prison. And he says, I am not ashamed of it. Why is Paul not ashamed of it? For I know the one whom I trust. I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Paul understood that God was a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. When people think that everyone's going to be happy in heaven, no matter how they live this life, let me tell you, it takes away from the most powerful motivation that God gives us in the Holy Scriptures, and that is the power of reward. And that is what people are doing today. They think that everyone that believes one time and lives any way they want to, they're going to be all happy in heaven one day. That is not faith. That is simply not a faith. It is not believing that God is a rewarder. Why in the world would we endure hardships? Why would we go through sufferings and difficulties if God is not a rewarder? If He's going to make everyone equal in the life to come. Nonsense. It is absolutely impossible to please God. That is what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. It is absolutely impossible to please God if we do not have our eye on reward. We must have our eyes on rewards if we're going to please God. I think that's what the writer is making very clear here. I think that's what the whole of chapter 11 is making clear. I think that's what the whole of the Bible makes very clear. Start to finish, Paul understood the motivation of reward. 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, in the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. From start to finish, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Paul said, in the future, there lies a crown, a reward, a crown of righteousness for the life that I lived. Do you think reward is selfish? Some people believe that. Some people think that reward is selfish. Well, tell Jesus that. Because in Matthew 6:19, He told us not to lay up our treasures on this earth. But He says, but lay up for yourselves. For yourselves. Not for the other guy next door to you. But for yourselves. Treasures in heaven. Doesn't sound like reward is selfish to me. I like what St. Hodges says. Selfishness ought not to be defined simply as the pursuit of our own self-interest. Instead, it should be defined as a pursuit of our self-interest in our own way rather than God's way. Faith believes that God is a rewarder of the faithful. He rewards those who endure to the end. Zane Hodges says again, it may sound pious for someone to say, I am not interested in rewards. I serve God out of love and gratitude alone. But such a person is claiming to be more lawfully motivated than even the Apostle Paul himself. Those who disparage rewards as a powerful Christian motivation ought to read their New Testament again, this time with their eyes open. Pastor Joey Faust, in his book, Will God spare the rod? He says, if the Christian is not looking in faith for the reality of future reward in all that he does, he is not fully obeying God, no matter how diligent he is in the duty of sacrificing. All the people mentioned in this chapter, all the great people that we read about in this chapter, understood this about God. They understood that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, which explains the life of faithfulness. People that are continually, no matter what goes on in their life, they're always diligently seeking the Lord. Unlike Moses, it says in Hebrews 11:26 that he looked, he had respect unto the recompense of reward. The New King James says he looked to the reward. He did everything that he did because of reward. He looked to the reward. They diligently sought after the Lord because He is the rewarder. Even to the point, I believe, to being tortured to death. And we see this in Hebrews 11:35. It reveals the power of future reward. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. What does that mean? It means they were given an opportunity. You either be tortured or you deny Christ. And you can be free. They did not accept deliverance. Why did they not accept deliverance? That they might obtain, we obtain rewards, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see, the people of faith all through the Bible, all through the early church, understood that God was just, that God was fair, that He would not overlook their sacrifice of faith, that He would recognize it, that He would regard it, and He would reward it. The more faithful that they were to God, the greater and better resurrection they would have. I think Peter encourages us in this direction in 1 Peter 4:12, and I'm reading from a different translation. It says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice." If we do not believe God is a rewarder for faithful living, I guarantee it will show in our lifestyle. In fact, we show in our lifestyle whether we believe that God is a rewarder. If we live an evil lifestyle, we don't think that God is going to reward us, good or bad. To obey Christ means that we love Him. And for all those who truly love Him, will be found seeking the rewards that He has graciously promised us and set before us. In our next verse tonight, a writer moves to the next example of a person who lived by faith, a person that endured incredible obstacles. And I'm going to try to bring that out tonight, because that is what the chapter is about. It's about an enduring faith. People that endured incredible obstacles to get approval from God and please God. This is someone that truly believed God is, and that God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him in verse 6. That person is Noah. God warned Noah about future things, things not seen as yet. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God spoke to Noah, and He warned him of things not seen as yet. That little phrase, does that remind you of another part of the book of Hebrews? Of the same chapter? That phrase, things not seen as yet, is part of the very definition of faith given in verse 1. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. What things not seen as yet did God warn Noah about? Well, we find that in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13 and in verse 17. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come. God is here speaking to Noah. So, Noah, I got something to tell you. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Boy, could you imagine that heavy revelation? I mean, God coming to tell you that He's going to destroy the earth. And all the people that are on it. Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So God warned Noah about a worldwide destruction by flood. He warned Noah about something that he was going to do that he had never done before. Up until this time, on earth, God had never judged the world. Noah had never seen this kind of judgment before. Notice that word, never seen this kind of judgment before. It takes faith to believe God concerning something that has not happened and has never happened before. It takes faith. Noah had never seen a flood. And as far as many scholars believe, he had never seen a raindrop. He had never seen a cloudy day. When this warning was given, there was no appearance by sight of any flood, either in the heavens or in the earth. There was nothing in what he saw to give him any indication at all of what was coming. By looking at things, things appeared as they always had appeared. There were building, there was planting, there was marriage, and as Jesus said, giving into marriage. You would see progress, advancement, just like we see today. If we look just at the outward things, we see progress. We see technology advancing like never before. People today who without divine warning judge like they do in Noah's day. They look at things outwardly. And they look at how this world is advancing in science and medicine and technology. But we, as the covenant people, we have the divine warning. Just like Noah had the divine warning. The people in Noah's day, the majority of people in Noah's day did not have the divine warning. And even if they had the divine warning, they wouldn't believe it. We know today, by divine warning, all these things that we see are going to end. They're going to end. We're not deceived by what man calls progress. Noah's faith came by God's warning of future judgment. Did you hear that? Noah's faith came by God's warning of future judgment. Faith does not just acknowledge these things to be true. It doesn't say, well, yeah, I really believe those things to be true. But it acts upon them. It moves. And Noah had substance. He had evidence. Because that was the definition that we gave of faith. Faith always has substance. And faith always has evidence. Noah's faith had substance and evidence. In Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. How do we know that Noah had a faith that God approved? Noah's faith had substance. Noah's faith had evidence. God's word of warning did something to the life of Noah. He was moved, the Bible says here, with fear. Moved with fear. Are we moved with fear when we read about the warnings of God? Fear was the substance and the evidence of Noah's faith. Faith moves with fear. Faith does not take God's word lightly, especially at the warnings. You know, fear is one of the most powerful motivators and most powerful emotions that we have as human beings. It can cause people, fear can cause people to do things that they normally would not do otherwise. Think back a time when you were really frightened. We've heard of incredible stories. We've heard of 12-year-old boys lifting cars off their fathers. Yeah, I've heard. You ever heard of that before? Car fell on the chest of a father one time, and the son moved with such fear that he lifted the car up so his father could get out. You say, well, how did he do that? Fear moved him in such a great way that I don't know how he did it, but he moved with fear, and he moved the car. So fear does something to us. It did something to Noah. It says that Noah prepared an ark. Fear moved him to do this. Godly fear can never be separated from godly faith. If we have godly faith, we have godly fear. The preparation of the ark was also the substance and the evidence of things hoped for and things not seen. This is how we know that Noah had faith. And by the way, the ark was not a boat. It had no steering wheel, and it had no rudder. The ark was a box, a wooden box, basically. And it just was made to float on water. And God was the one who steered it by the waters. Noah prepared for things to come. That's what we learn here. Do you hear that tonight? Noah prepared for things to come. That's faith. Faith prepares a life for things to come. He did not live only for the present. He prepared for the future. And we read this little phrase here, Noah prepared an ark, and we just keep on reading. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought what actually went in to what this man did? The monumental task that he had before him. I mean, this was a huge responsibility. Noah was given the job to replenish the earth after the flood. Imagine that. Not only did he have to build an ark by hand, and that is very hard in itself. I can't even put a nail in a piece of wood without hurting my thumb. He had to build this ark by hand. And not only that, but he had to collect the animals and herd them into the ark in pairs. He had to gather food for the animals, gather food for his family. Can you imagine? Just imagine tonight the overwhelming job this was to complete. Think of the long hours, the hard, long hours of preparation. Without any sign whatsoever that it was going to rain or that a flood was on its way. He endured it. He endured it. Year after year after year, he continued to build, he continued to gather, he continued to store. Why did he endure? He never lost his faith. His faith was focused on things not seen as yet. He kept thinking to himself, I'm sure, all the great people that walked with God, I guarantee you, they kept thinking about what God had said to them. Noah knew that the things that God had said were going to come to pass. He knew the things would happen exactly as God had told him. That's faith. That's faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, as he says he is in his word. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Noah believed this. It would have been very easy for Noah to have become discouraged, to draw back from faith. After all that time had passed, day in, day out, year after year, possibly over 120 years. We haven't even lived that long yet. None of us have. Noah would be still building, still gathering, still collecting. It would be so easy to become discouraged and draw back, to begin to doubt what God said would happen. Noah's faith was recognized by God and rewarded. The Bible also clearly, the writer of Hebrews clearly says, and we know by reading the account in the book of Genesis, that salvation was brought to his family, to his house, by the ark. And also it says the ark condemned the world. How did the ark condemn the world? Have you ever thought about that? I think because the ark revealed Noah's faith. It was the substance and evidence of what Noah believed. What God had revealed to Noah was that ark. And that ark was there. It could not be denied. And it was staring at the world. All the deniers of God have to look at the ark. The ark stood for things yet not seen. Faith condemns the world because the world rejects God, what God has to say specifically about the future. It only accepts those things that are in the present. One writer said this, construction of the ark prior to the perception of the danger was itself a prophetic act of symbolic realism, announcing to the world the forthcoming judgment of God. It also proclaimed a dynamic faith in the truth of God's warning, despite all appearance to the contrary. The last clause tonight in Hebrews 11:7 reveals Noah's reward. It says that Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The word heir actually appears on the end of the clause in the Greek text. It reads like the Young's literal translation reads, better in the English. A better English translation would be the Young's. Of the righteousness according to faith, he became heir. That's a better way of reading it. An heir is someone who receives an inheritance. And Noah, as everyone else who lives righteously by faith, they will become the heirs of the coming kingdom. They will become heirs with Jesus Christ, who is, in fact, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, verse 2, he is the heir of all things. In James 2:5, it says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith?" The poor in this world are not focusing everything on this world. They are looking for the world to come. And they are rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. This is what it means that Noah was an heir. Heir means that Noah is going to receive the kingdom. He is going to be an heir of the kingdom to come. The righteousness which is by faith that God approves of is found in Genesis chapter 7 in verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." God saw his righteousness. God didn't see some mystical fluid flowing in him called righteousness, but God saw that he obeyed him. He did every single thing that God told him to do. Even when there was nothing that appeared on the horizon like what God said was going to happen. He continued on. And it says in verse 5, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. That is how we receive the righteousness of God by faith. Is when we do what God tells us to do, despite not seeing anything in the horizon that would give us a clue that what God has said is going to happen. I mean, we look today at all the bad things going on. We say, no, the Lord is going to come soon. But really, bad things have been happening for a long time. And every generation says it's worse than the last generation. And yeah, you can look at statistics and probably prove this and that. But really, the sun comes up every day. Goes down every night. This Friday, or this Thursday, seems like it was like last Thursday. Nothing unusual to it. In fact, it seems like it was a Thursday that I've always understood since I've been born. There's nothing unusual, I mean, about what's going on in one sense. The world just continues on. We don't really have a dark cloud hanging over us and saying, well, it's coming soon, it's getting closer. But by faith, we continue to obey. We continue to do what God tells us to do. We continue to make the sacrifices that we know are going to be rewarded. Because what God has said will come to pass, despite what we see today. It will come to pass. It happened to Noah, and it also will happen to us. Amen?